Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify's got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process, from syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns. Automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments, with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Notice! Notice! This midweek mini was recorded several months ago and may not be up to date with current events. For fresh minisode uploads with every episode, head to patreon.com/chilluminatipod.
God,
she
hello everybody, welcome to minisode.
Yikes.
239, I don't know, something like that.
469, baby.
All done with our Chaos Magic series. I'm excited to see what the boys have got for me on this week. I don't know if you have anything you want to go first, last, where you want to go.
I got a good big chunker. I don't know if that what that means.
I got a little short boy, so okay, I'll start first.
Okay.
So I'm sure anyone who has read the news over the last couple of weeks and or been on Reddit, this popped up a bunch, and it is something we've talked about before, but in a different capacity because science hit it from a different angle. But now there's even more science that is another kind of weird thing where I'm sure if you've seen it, basically Earth may be trapped inside a giant void in space.
Yes. I think I have seen this. I don't know.
I remember you brought us the tube. You brought us
Have the tube. This is a different beast. Similar vibe, different kind of explainer. So the Earth, as well as the rest of the Milky Way, could be floating in a billion light year wide cosmic void, according to new research.
That's by looking so at many echoes, light years.
Like, massive. So while our galaxy is fine, technically, because we're all close to each other in a galactic scale, other galaxies could be very, very, very far away. By looking at echoes left by sound waves, the Big Bang, a team of astronomers discovered that our corner of the universe could be far emptier than we first thought. If true, the theory could answer one of the biggest problems with cosmology, which is Hubble tension. This idea that our universe is expanding, but how fast it expands depends on how you look at it.
Yeah.
Which is a whole weird thing that I don't quite
sounds like a skybox, bro.
Yeah, dude. That's, I mean, maybe.
Astronomers have long battled with this issue when they measured the expansion rate by looking at distant universes. It's slower than when they look at things that are in like closer to us, right? And they're like, that makes no sense. How's that possible? If it was a Big Bang, everything should move the same speed. Well, a potential solution could be the fact that we are at the center of a large local void, said Dr. Indranil Banik from the University of Portsmouth.
At the center of the void.
At the center of the void, yeah.
That makes me think that, like, Reed Richards did it. What, like, what? The center is crazy.
Well, this is because the regions around the void have a higher density of galaxies, and their gravitational pull would slowly coax galaxies not at the center, towards them over time. And it would empty the region out. As the void's emptying out, the velocity of objects away from us will be larger than closer to us. In other words, it would make local universe appear to be expanding faster than it actually is.
Oh, okay. Okay, I see.
Like an optical
illusion. Reverse that. It would be everything close to us seems moving fast because it's moving away from us quickly, but everything further away is moving slowly because it's already way far away and moving at a constant rate while it's pulling things away from us.
So it's like an optical illusion.
Basically, yeah.
Like it's fucking with our readings because we're telling it something different than what's actually out there, which is a distortion of time and space.
Yes.
That's cool.
That's crazy.
I love that.
So this Hubble tension, basically the void would need to be around 1 billion light years wide with a galaxy density 20% lower than the universe's average. So it doesn't mean it's like a black void of nothing. Just there's significantly less galaxies in the area than in the rest of the universe.
Why would we be in the center of it? Does that mean they put us in jail? They put us in space-time?
I'm assuming our galaxy is at the center of it or whatever, right?
Yeah. It's not like Earth. It's the galaxy.
Oh. Yeah, well, that's better. Then that doesn't mean Galactus is coming and we need to be ready.
No.
I don't know why I have Fantastic Four on the mind. I haven't even seen the movie. I'm not even that excited about it.
It hasn't even come out yet, I don't think.
I'm way more excited about Superman. Saw it twice. I don't get it.
The idea that we might be living in a void has been around for a while, as we talked about in a few other times.
Well, we're definitely living in a void.
Yeah.
But the one about Earth, the one with the tube, that's specifically Earth. That's not the galaxy.
Yeah. That's probably why you were confused.
That was like a smaller, obscure.
Yeah, that's like
a little magnetic significantly tube in our own galaxy.
But what about the solar system?
So the solar system, we are in a galactic void that has significantly less galaxies per light year or whatever.
But was the tube bigger than the solar system?
The tube is just Earth. The tube just is more Earth. Of a answering the dark force theory than this
I
is.
I see.
This is like at a level that even if we discover this is real, would not affect us in any significant way because it's so big and we're so insignificant in what this is that what would we do? We'd be like, okay, all right. We wouldn't do anything.
We can't do anything. Yeah,
it's so massive. The Earth one is a little more interesting because that's like, okay, that's Earth. That's our local area. At some point, science willing, we will be able to explore that. But for now, galaxy-wide, that doesn't affect us at all. Our current understanding of cosmology suggests the universe should be uniform. Big bang, explosion, everything just goes poosh. But then why does it have these giant holes? And the team, they were able to find, there are other holes throughout the galaxy, throughout the universe. There are known giant weird holes that just, for whatever reason, there are voids in space.
Hungry celestial.
Yeah. Maybe. It's fascinating.
I've heard about voids. Voids are cool sounding, but also scary if you were in the middle of them. Because they said you should be able to, if you were in the middle of a void, but by yourself, not in a galaxy, you would see no stars. You would see.
It feels
nothing.
Like city mouse versus country mouse type vibes.
Less
populated outer rim world.
Rim world's a great game. Play that game. Yeah. I'm hooked on it right now. The new expansion's out.
I saw you streaming that starting at 1:30 a.m. the other day. It ended up
with one of my colonists had their left arm bitten by a wolf. It became extremely infected. They had to die, so I had to amputate it. The doctor catastrophically failed the surgery. Instead of removing the arm, they tore the arm off just by brute force.
That's trauma.
Then she lost her eye. It's crazy. But then they got married.
It's like Meerkat Manor.
Florence Nightingale.
Yeah. It's very sweet.
Jesus Christ.
That's cool, though. I love that we could be in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Yeah, but it's also I think it's interesting that science is talking about it, but it also means nothing.
Right. There's nothing we can do about it.
It's one of those things where it's cool.
You could explain the... What's the thing about we're alone in the universe?
Well, that's different.
Fermi paradox.
That's more Earth.
Right. But I just mean the fact that we're in a sort of, if we're in empty zone, right?
Yeah.
If we're in empty zone USA in space, makes sense why we would never see
Again, this isn't totally empty. There are other galaxies around us. There's just significantly less than the vast majority of other places in the universe.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's just a way lower probability than it would be in a normal density part of the universe, let's say.
Yeah.
We're the countryside.
Yeah, we're Jakku.
Farm mouse. Yeah.
We're chilling. Oh,
we're Jakku. Perfect.
We're chilling on the classic Star Wars planet of Jakku.
Right.
There's no other one like it. That's what they always say about Jakku.
Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. They, it looks like no other planet.
Yeah. In Star Wars, especially.
Before you take it then, Alex, so you guys said you got a big boy, right?
It's just, I'm going to read, and it's by Grant Morrison, so it's going to be long.
I want to hear it.
So this is a piece. I wanted to shout out Grant Morrison again. I like you like unwittingly tapped onto like a big excitement point for Alex with Grant Morrison, because Grant Morrison's like,
but see, it's just the merger of
she's my favorite comic book writer of all time.
Like, I am going to start reading The Invisibles because of this.
You can crush The Invisibles in a day or two if you're like
really,
you know, locked in.
I'm excited.
I also recommend their run on Doom Patrol if you're looking for something similar. Ooh, okay. It's absurdism and Dadaism. So it's like the art version, kind of Invisibles, or The Filth.
I can't believe it was actual chaos magic he was practicing. That's crazy.
Or The Filth. Or if you like the Superman movie that just came out, go get yourself a copy of All-Star Superman, or read Grant Morrison's entire Batman run. It's almost like the finale of Batman. Like, it's pretty crazy.
I love that.
It's like the finale of like old Batman. After that, it's like almost like new energy for Batman. Like, this is the last time that Batman felt like a Silver Age character was in Grant Morrison's run. It's kind of interesting. But that aside, I could give you recommendations all day.
I know you could.
Read by Grant Morrison.
I know you could.
But the thing I'm going to recommend right now is their Substack, which, complicated relationship with Substack, but theirs is called Xanadum. Xanadum. There's no way that doesn't mean something. It's got all these like occult imageries associated with it. And what it is it's Grant's like sort of way of like, I mean, I'm sure they have a specific goal with it if you read at the beginning, but it's been going for years. I got really into it in the pandemic, but it's sort of like their life's work and like little passion projects like laid out.
Hmm.
And on there, they designed an entire new tarot deck for like the modern age that like is, and you can like read through it and like, it's like educational about the tarot and like entirely like how you're supposed to think about it and interpret it, and it's also good at mapping like modern ideas onto the tarot, and just a lot of other stuff. Obviously they're a huge occultist, but just in tribute of the Invisibles, I wanted to read this piece that's based around, there's actually a demo recording from 1995 as part of this that you can only get if you sign up for Xanadum, but I'm going to read you the text part because I think it's so fucking interesting, and it's I think a great little coda to the conversation that we had today in Chaos Magic. So here we go. Back in the late 1700s, during the Civil War, I formed a band. You have to also imagine that I'm from Glasgow, Scotland. I'm not going to do the voice because I can't, but you're just going to have to imagine totally that I sound kind of like Billy Connolly. I formed a band with some like-minded teenage pals. We called ourselves The Mixers after a band named on page 40 of our beloved A Clockwork Orange. Influenced by punk, 60s garage psychedelia, and the work of Neil Innes, The Mixers would switch styles on a dime, from Beatles to Buzzcocks, The Kinks, The Birds, The Move, TV personalities, The Tourists, and Noel Coward, all absorbed into our trademark three-guitar thumpa-thumpa-thumpa driving beat. We plied our trade in and around Glasgow, becoming affiliated with an indie scene that included The Pastels, Alan McGee at the Dawn of Creation, and latterly Primal Scream and the Jesus and Mary Chain, until breaking up on stage in 1983 when our drummer Michael Angus quit for good. Michael, an architecture student at the time, is now one of the presenters on my guilty middle-class telly pleasure, Scotland's Home of the Year. The core group continued to play and record in various configurations with a succession of drummers, spending time as Jenny and the Cat Club and then the Foves, before sputtering to a halt as Super Nine after a few tracks were played on Radio Scotland's Beat Patrol show. In the mid-90s, the four prime mixers got together again and put the recriminations of the past behind us for a vivid creative explosion, part fueled by the weed, champagne, and mushrooms we denied ourselves in our straight-edge days. Unsurprisingly, these sessions yielded some of our best work together. Anyway, you'll likely hear more about this lot as I scour the archives for interesting demos and live recordings. On October 9th, 1993, which would have been John Lennon's 53rd birthday had the Archbeatle not been shot dead by Mark Chapman in 1980, I performed a ritual intended to incarnate Lennon as a god. I wanted to make a dedication at the beginning of what was a whole new life for me in many ways. I wanted to summon a spirit of pure psychedelic inspiration into a Lennon-shaped environment. I sought not to manifest the real man, the troubled, cruel, and violent Lennon with his flaws and contradictions, but instead evoke Lennon the twisted mystic, the pop star intellectual, the elemental heir of the four Beatles as stripped back to their cartoon archetypes. To get in the mood, I wore a paisley shirt, skinny jeans, and Chelsea boots. I sat at the center of a circle made of Beatles albums and had Tomorrow Never Knows playing on a loop. My new 12-string white Rickenbacker stood in for a wand. As sacrament, I took a microdose of LSD. Not enough for a full-blown trip, but sufficient to soften consensus reality. People sometimes misunderstand when I talk about what happened that night. I was not possessed by the spirit of Lennon. It was not a mediumistic example of channeling the alleged dead. This was magic, intention willed into form. I altered the temple environment using sounds, smells, and images as powerful triggers to push out of my consciousness all associations that did not relate to Lennon. This overload of environmental cues was organized or compressed by will into a singular, visible compound idea of Lennonness, so that everywhere I looked reminded me of John Lennon. Everything I heard was Lennon, until all other qualities the space around me may have once possessed were edited out and replaced by the Lennon sphere. Using a traditional three-part summoning, where the magician first speaks to the chosen god, angel, or specified other in the third person at a worshipful remove, he is the walrus, the eggman, the moondog. This call is repeated, this time in second person and with more fervor as to a lover. You are the walrus, the eggman, etc. And finally, with all the passion, intent, and language available, the magician pronounces, I am the walrus. I am the eggman, and assumes the full responsibility for whatever happens next. This total possession of the ritual space by a coherent manifestation, what I was looking for, and it expressed itself visually and audibly as a 4-foot-tall head that fit inside my temple space, but felt much bigger, made of thousands of intricate, multicolored, and chiming shards of what resembled musical notation as rotated through a higher direction. Intense flashing colors, digital high fidelity, shimmering musical glissades and drones. There's also a similar, there's a couple pages of the Invisibles where King Mob is summoning a giant John Lennon head. It's in the first issue.
That's awesome.
It's on page, like, it's like on the last couple pages. There's like a huge splash of it.
That's crazy.
I bathed in an electric fluorescent creative kaleidoscope, searing yellows and electric pinks, UV blues, receiving a download of powerful, effervescent excitement and creativity. It felt most like the imagined Lennon of Revolver and Sgt. Pepper, a psychedelic god on acid. The ritual formed the basis for the above scene in the first issue of The Invisibles, where most of the accompanying captions, Buddha Gong, Universal Harmonics, Monastery Acoustic Hiss and Drone, Looking Glass Language, Reverb Red in the Red Room of the Head, and so on, come directly from my magical diary record and were my immediate attempts to describe the textures of the experience. A great many mysteries and marvels came out of that night, including seeds of what became The Invisibles itself and the beginning of an inexorable escalation of unleashed intent, which climaxed 8 months later in Kathmandu, Nepal. As a more minor side effect of the ritual, I found myself with this song I'd strummed into life, composed almost automatically, complete with lyrics and music. It always sounded to me at best like a throwaway B-side from 1965 as imagined by the Ruddles, but that's why I've always liked it. It's a very authentic scribble of the moment. It is emphatically not a communication from beyond the grave. An acoustic version of the song exists online, performed by me at the Great Meltdown Books and Comics, formerly of Sunset Boulevard, Los Angeles, to close off a discussion with Gerard Way. I've seen that interview. The audio is very bad, and it's kind of hard to understand Grant because their accent is quite thick and the microphone is not doing them any favors, but it's still a fascinating chat if you got headphones or something where you can really listen and focus in. He has the they have the lyrics here to the song, and I can read them if you want. Keep taking the pills, keep reading the books, keep looking for signs that somebody loves you, keep walking the dog, keep taking the drug, keep looking for signs that somebody loves you. One and one and one makes two if you really want it to. I'm talking about love, right? It's like stuff like that.
Yeah.
There's also an audio version of it. I'll play it for you guys, in you two, but yeah, I don't think it would be chill for me to play it on the show. But you can go find the version that Gerard Way that he did at Meltdown Comics in LA, which was a great place to go buy a comic book or whatever. But I'll play this for you guys really quick so you guys can hear it. Just edit this out.
Yeah.
He's definitely trying to channel a Lennon.
Yeah, like, do you think that's better, or do you think the alternate universe Beatles album is better at capturing the actual sound of the Beatles?
I mean, the alternate was the Beatles, to be honest.
Right.
It was remixed and remade, but it was them for sure.
Sure, right. I just felt like there's something kind of that came through. I mean,
it's cool.
He's definitely not coming back from the grave and writing a song through Grant Morrison, but they translated the essence through music in a way that worked for me.
It's really cool. I love that shit. And I'll actually jump off that because what I'm dealing with is also from the psychedelic world, but I'm going to merge it to science because a really fucking cool study came out last week and a half ago. So as the billionaires and rich people are desperate to figure out how to stop aging and live forever, the anti-aging market has surged past $500 million last year. And some of that money found its way to Emory University researchers who have identified a compound that actively delays aging in cells and organisms. A new study published in Nature Partners Journal Aging demonstrates that psilocin, a byproduct of consuming psilocybin, that's what your body turns the mushroom chemical into, this is a extended cellular lifespan of human skin and lung cells by more than 50%. But in parallel, researchers also conducted the first long-term in vivo, meaning live, not on like dead or in utero, mice, in vivo study evaluating the systemic effects of psilocybin in aged mice of 19 months, or what the equivalent would be 60 to 65-ish human years. Results indicated that the mice that received an initial low dose of psilocybin of 5 milligrams, followed by a monthly high dose of 15 milligrams for 10 months, had a 30% increase in survival compared to the mice who hadn't received any. These mice also displayed healthier physical features, such as improved fur quality, fewer white hairs, and hair regrowth. Now, while traditionally researched for its mental health benefits, this study suggests that psilocybin impacts multiple hallmarks of aging by reducing oxidative stress, improving DNA repair responses, and preserving telomere length. We've probably all heard the word telomere before, but these are the things in your body at the ends of chromosomes, protecting it from damage that could lead to the formation of age-related diseases like cancer, neurodegeneration, etc. The study concludes that psilocybin may have the potential to revolutionize anti-aging therapies and could be impactful intervention in the aging population. Kind of goes on to say it's just mice. It's the very, very first one. It's not like, still a lot to go. But they looked at, like I said, telomere length, oxidative stress. They added a control group of, it was 19 and 19 that they were treating in mice. And the measurements were as they were. So it's up next, ideally, is the next step to bring it closer to human trials. I can give you the thing, but yeah, it just,
that is
weird, right?
You captured my imagination telling me that information. That was crazy.
Science is great, not just because of like discoveries, but the fact that somewhere someone had to submit a proposal to get mice high on shrooms.
Yes, Yeah, it's awesome.
Like, they had to write a whole thing, submit it to a board, and get the money to go out and buy drugs, and then give it to mice. And that is science, baby.
It's nuts.
Shout-outs to those mice.
Yeah, dude, that's crazy.
Shout-outs to those fucking mice, man.
So, mice were like, we're all me, the rats.
They were like, I am the walrus, dude.
Yeah. Right? That's the thing, man. That's it. It's all. It's the end of the day.
Flying squirrels, man. We're all the same, man.
Dude, that's crazy, though. It's cool that, like, it, like, made them healthier and, like, regrew hair and, like, some mice. So weird. But that's where we'll leave it. Yeah. Thank you guys so much.
Read the Invisibles. Weird.
That's where we'll leave it.
Yeah. Read the Invisibles.
Baby, that's, like, that's our fucking motto. So weird, bro.
That's so weird.
It's cool. It's fucking cool. Do mushrooms. That's what it means. Do
Fuck
mushrooms.
Yeah.
Responsibly. Thank you guys so much for supporting us here at patreon.com/TheLumenderPod. We'll be back next week with another mini episode. We appreciate it. We love you. Goodbye.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify has got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process, from syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns. Automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments, with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.